This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, congressional Republicans are demanding answers from the Justice Department about why two laptops were destroyed in the Hillary Clinton email investigation. The laptops were destroyed as part of immunity deals for two Clinton aides. Alabama Congressman Gary Palmer is here with the details in just a moment. And it is not, I repeat, the president's failed foreign policy that is responsible for the meltdown in the Middle East. It's global warming. That's what the president said earlier this week. Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo is here for that heated discussion. All that and more coming up here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics. You can also find out more about how you can make a difference in this upcoming election. We've got some resources there for you at the website, TonyPerkins.com. One that I encourage you to take a look at, a comparison between the two major political parties on their platforms. It's a short video, about 3 minutes long, and it goes through some of the key aspects comparing both parties based on their platform. Now, some people would say, well, platforms don't matter, doesn't make a difference. Actually, a study that was done looking at platforms over a 30-year period found, listen to this, around 89% of the time the Republicans governed according to their platform, Democrats about three-quarters of the time. These platforms matter. It tells you a lot about what the elected officials from those parties will work for and work toward. So I encourage you to check that out. Share it with your friends. Put it on your Facebook. You can even show it at church. It's what we call C3 compliant, meaning it's completely legal to show. It's simply telling Americans the facts they need before they vote. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, top-ranking Republicans on Wednesday escalated their inquiry into a controversial FBI agreement to destroy the laptops of two Hillary Clinton aides questioned in the email scandal investigation. That's according to Politico. They were pressing Attorney General Loretta Lynch for answers and suggesting the deal obstructed congressional investigators. Now, again, quoting from this article from Politico, the agreement to destroy the computers, the lawmakers wrote Wednesday in this letter to Lynch, quote, is simply astonishing, given the likelihood that evidence on the laptops would be of interest to congressional investigators. What are we looking at? Well, joining me now is the representative from the 6th Congressional District of Alabama, our good friend Gary Palmer, who is a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Gary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Gary, I have to say that this has to be disturbing as you continue to try to get to the facts of Hillary Clinton's email scandal, and now you're finding out that the FBI is basically covering for her aides?
Well, you know, this is the pattern of this administration. We go back to the IRS investigation, the instructions there, other situations where we've requested documents and haven't been withheld. And now you get into the Hillary email scandal and foundation issues. And not only are they destroying evidence and withholding evidence, they're giving immunity and giving permission to the destruction of evidence. They're giving immunity to five of Mrs. Clinton's top eight. And you just can't help but conclude that there is no rule of law with this administration. There is a double standard. And you're a former Marine, or I don't guess you're ever such thing as a former Marine, but you understood well the consequences of improperly handling classified information, probably what consequences you would suffer, as I did.
Right.
But in this case, no one suffers any consequences.
Well, we've seen Congress. I mean, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee generally doesn't do a whole lot. But the last 8 years, it has been a nonstop, revolving door of issues that has come before your committee. And what has to be frustrating, I would think, is again, as you're trying to get to the facts and do the work of the American people, is that you have a Justice Department that is not only, you know, not being cooperative in helping in this process, but in this case, potentially blocking the Congress from doing its work in finding out what was on these laptops and what was contained in these emails.
Well, they've done everything they can to impede our investigation, and then, you know, include not just destroying evidence in the case of the laptop, but there's a laptop that's missing, and along with a thumb drive. And the excuse that was made for that was that it was lost in the mail. When I brought this up in our upside hearing with Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, the Undersecretary of State, and asking the gentleman who's in charge of recording and documenting everything done to the Secretary of State, their response was, well, we didn't try to recover that laptop because it was Secretary Clinton's personal laptop. And I was astonished, frankly, that was his answer, because that's the whole issue that we're investigating. It's her use of personal communication devices, multiple servers, and in this case, his laptop. And we just keep finding a little bit more and a little bit more, and they keep impeding the investigation by either withholding that information, or in the case of the two laptops that you were talking about in your intro, giving permission to the destruction of them.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Gary Palmer, my guest from Alabama. Congressman, any idea what might have been on those computers that the FBI destroyed?
Well, anything that we would speculate would be pure speculation, but I think considering all that has come out, it would run from classified information being on there improperly to a whole string of emails that contain classified information, could contain information regarding the Clinton Foundation that would be very damaging. It could also contain information about her health. So, you know, this type of interference by the Justice Department just feeds the conspiracy theorists. I've kind of chuckled when one of my fellow Congress members, John Ratcliffe, made the comment that before he got to Washington, he didn't believe in conspiracy. Well, I'm kind of in that same boat now. I'm starting to think maybe there are.
Well, I think a lot of Americans are wondering, how is it that, as you pointed out earlier, and in fact, Mike Pence, former Congressman Mike Pence, governor of Indiana, in the debate earlier this week, made that comparison to his son, who was a Marine, and Kane's son, saying if they handled classified information the way that Hillary Clinton did, which that evidence would be contained on these computers that the FBI destroyed, they would be court-martialed. And there seems to be a clear double standard with the way most Americans are treated and what we see with the officials connected with the Obama administration.
Well, we have an example right now of a sailor, a naval sailor who took some pictures inside the submarine, no harm intended, but he's being dealt with very harshly. But here's something, Tony. You've been in this for a long time. You've seen all kinds of stuff go on, state level, the federal level. But I cannot remember ever having two particular words applied to a Secretary of State in regards to the handling of classified information. And Director Comey used these two words. He said, extremely careful. You may as well say extremely dangerous in that context. And I just think if we just look the other way on everything else, on the Clinton Foundation, on the other issues, and stop and consider that the director of the FBI described the Secretary of State's handling of classified information as extremely careless, that ought to get people's attention in and of itself.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Congressman Palmer, one final question for you. Obviously, very strongly worded letter from the four Republican leaders to Loretta Lynch. What might be the next steps? Will Congress do anything to potentially hold the FBI accountable for what they did?
Well, I know a lot of people would assume that after the election, this will all go away. But I really don't think it should, Tony. I think we've got, as members of Congress, and particularly on the Oversight Committee, we have a responsibility to make sure that the FBI does its job, make sure that the Secretary of State operations are run in such a way that our national interests are protected, particularly our most sensitive information is protected. And then we've got an enormous responsibility to make sure that the Department of Justice lives up to its name, that it does justice. And right now, I think for all intents and purposes, the systems are broke. We've got to put politics aside. We've got to get back to the rule of law. And we've got to do what it takes to restore the public confidence in those three bureaus, those three divisions of government. So I think we've got to go on with it.
Well, I would hope so, because I think you're absolutely right. This has undermined the rule of law in this country and the confidence of the American people, and it just snowballs. It escalates. It filters its way down to every aspect of society. Congressman Gary Palmer, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Tony. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you, sir. Congressman Gary Palmer, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, from Alabama, former president and CEO of the Family Policy Council there in Alabama. He is doing a great job on Capitol Hill, representing the values that most of you care about. So if you live in Alabama, be sure and shoot him a note. But before we wrap up here at the break, and by the way, still coming up, the president talking about global warming being responsible for the meltdown in the Middle East. Congressman Mike Pompeo is going to join us on the other side of this break. But I want to talk about this issue of lawlessness. All right, that is the legacy of the Obama administration, lawlessness. And look, we're seeing it all across society. I mean, we had an incident in front of our building just yesterday, and the police had to arrest a man. And immediately, about a dozen people with cameras show up to try to see if there's anything they can find about law enforcement doing something to this guy who stole about $1,000 worth of merchandise from a store down the street. I mean, looking for some incident in which they can do what's happened in so many other cities across the country, strike back against law enforcement, against the rule of law. I mean, that's what's been set in place here with the president. Every time something has happened in law enforcement, unfortunate situation where we've had shootings, immediately jumping to conclusions that it's race related or motivated. And so it has undermined the authority of law enforcement and their standing in the community. And of course, when the president himself and those in his administration, like Hillary Clinton, refuse to abide by the law, yes, it undermines the law. And so I think Gary Palmer is absolutely right. When this election's over, and hopefully there is a new administration that is respectful of the law, that these issues will not be dropped. All right, on the other side of the break, Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo joins us to talk about the president's claims that global warming is responsible for the meltdown in the Middle East.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9th through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
American Family Radio is for your family.
My name is Jimmy. I have a friend who was an alcoholic, and he had cirrhosis of the liver real bad and needed a liver transplant. And another friend and I were afraid he was going to die before we could talk to him about Christianity. So I called Sandy Rails one morning. She had a friend on there, and I asked her to pray for him and ask all of the people in the audience to pray for him. Well, he got his transplant. He's doing better. He's turned his life around. He's a carpenter. He's back to work. And I credit God and the Christian audience for praying for him and making everything better. Thank you.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 18th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Now, this is in the you can't make it up category. Now, earlier this week, President Obama, having an event at the White House, says global warming contributed to the Syrian civil war. Basically, the meltdown over in the Middle East was because of global warming. Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas, a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, is here for this conversation. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you today. That's quite an unbelievable statement.
Yeah, and so just so our listeners don't think we're making this stuff up, I've got a clip. I want you to listen to this clip. This is the president making this statement the other day, and then I'll get you to respond to it. So listen to this.
There's already some really interesting work, not definitive, but powerful, showing that the droughts that happened in Syria contributed to the unrest and the Syrian civil war. Well, if you start magnifying that across a lot of states, a lot of nation states that already contain a lot of poor people who are just right at the margins of survival, this becomes a national security issue. And that's why, even as we have members of Congress who scoff at climate change at the same time as they are saluting and wearing flag pins and extolling their patriotism, they're not paying attention to our Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon, who are saying that this is one of the most significant national security threats that we face over the next 50 years.
So, Congressman, it sounds like he's also challenging your patriotism if you don't believe that global warming, man-made global warming, is real.
Yeah, and that's offensive, to be sure. But it's not the first time he's done this. I graduated from West Point a few years back now, but watched him go to that esteemed institution and tell these young men and women who are going to go fight America's wars, who have sacrificed so much. He told them the same thing. He said, the biggest national security issue we face is climate change, and they're a bunch of young warriors ready to go out and fight and die for America. It is really beneath the dignity of the office for him to behave in that way. And, you know, he goes beyond even suggesting that climate change is real, that he brings that fight up. But he somehow says that this is what caused the Syrian civil war. We know precisely what caused the Syrian civil war, and it begins with his failed leadership.
Well, at the in fact, at the time of the Syrian war that it started in 2014, according to the science and the data, the Earth's temperature hadn't warmed for 16 years. And in effect, if my memory doesn't fail me, the Syrian war grew out of the Arab Spring, which was, as you pointed out, a part of the failed foreign policy of this administration.
Right. That would have been roughly 2011 when that began. And then he had a chance to put the lid back on it and chose not to do so. So chose to turn over control of the Middle East to the Iranians and the Russians, and that's the net effect you're seeing today. I'm not sure how you call a civil war when there are two third parties fighting and killing so many people, dropping bombs on people's heads, right? Vladimir Putin and Ayatollah Khomeini are active in Syria today. So he called for the civil war. What this truly is an attempt by radical Islamists to take control of an even wider swath of the Middle East.
Now, no doubt that we have, drought gives way to instability in populations, but oftentimes the instability is a part of what leads to the drought when the ground is not taken care of and the farms are not tilled so they can produce.
It's absolutely true. I mean, Israel is the perfect example of that. Israel has managed in a place where they have been water challenged for an awfully long time to create a society, a civilization that has managed to grow and prosper and create a very wealthy economy, even in the absence of the capacity to have their own water. They built it. They made it work. Societies that are civil and engage in the rule of law figure out ways to deal with resource shortcomings. When you see the chaos and the refusal for reason and science to take hold in these countries in the Middle East, those are the things that spawn the conflict that we see today.
So what do we know about what's happening now in Syria today? Are we any closer to a resolution there, or is that still just as volatile today?
It's just as volatile, maybe even worse. The efforts to bring the Russians to the table to negotiate were a sheer folly from the beginning. It is true that we will, likely with U.S. effort, but the help of the Iranians and the Turks, will take back Mosul from ISIS. But that's a partial step, to be sure. It doesn't really accomplish the end goal of achieving an outcome which gives the Syrian people a chance to go back to their homes and the time and space they need to create a political solution to this enormous humanitarian catastrophe that President Obama has allowed to take place.
Now, Congressman, as you referenced to, you were in the United States Army Graduate West Point, also, as I mentioned, the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, so you've got the latest data of what's happening. What's it going to require of the next administration to bring stability to the Middle East? Can it happen, and what will it take?
It can happen. It's a bigger problem now than it was. It's a more challenging problem now than it was when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, when she had her opportunity. But it begins with American leadership, an acknowledgement that this matters to the people of Kansas and to the people all across America, that we don't have playgrounds for terrorists to continue to grow and exfiltrate their terror to America. So I think step one is getting people around the world to believe in our leader again, that he'll actually do what he says he'll do, which President Obama hasn't done. And then second, it's going to take a concerted effort to bring those who have shared interests with us, the Europeans, some of the Gulf states, to begin to develop a political resolution. And frankly, it's going to take a more focused military effort as well, not 60 or 80,000 troops on the ground, but a serious effort to make sure that those in the Middle East understand that they're not going to get away with killing tens and hundreds of thousands of their own people. Those three simple things will allow the people of the Middle East to begin to impose stability on themselves.
An important undertaking. Congressman Mike Pompeo, thanks so much for joining
us
this
afternoon.
Thank you
very much, Tony.
All right, great to talk with you. Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas. Find out more at TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Some more took place at the White House as it pertained to the president's claims of global warming or climate change. We're going to talk about that, and a little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines as well. So you are listening to Washington Watch. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Don't go away, because we're coming right back with more after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
One of the analytical firms I very seldom talk about is Morningstar. It's probably one of a little bit more conservative, a little bit more realistic than a lot. I like what they do. And they, of course, they primarily focus on mutual funds, but they do have analysts, obviously, that are constantly doing their economic analysis on a regular basis. A fellow by the name of Bob Johnson, director of economic analytics for Morningstar, said yesterday that the economic growth of the country is going to be difficult because of consumer spending. So what he was saying was, you know, looking at the data for last month, looking at it this week, saying that the data is still bad. It's been bad for a long time. And it was so good and refreshing for me to hear somebody actually talk about something I've been talking about for 4 years. Finally, there is more and more traction, more people talking about the idea globally of consumer spending. You all have heard me talk about this for a number of years. You can say what you want about the economic data. Try as you might to put a positive spin on it. There is very little positive about the economic data. And the biggest issue that we have globally is consumer spending. Well, consumer spending is 71% of our economy, but those export nations are struggling too because they're depending on the rest of the world buying stuff, and consumer spending has been a global problem for years, because the underlying fundamentals of the economy are still poor.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, I want to continue this for just a moment. This is one of those issues, the global warming. Now, the climate changes. It's never static. The science on this is not without question when it comes to the causes of climate change. Is it, in fact, man-made, as the president and the left claims? Well, there are many scientists that do not agree with that. I mean, nobody's challenging. Well, most are not challenging that the climate is changing. It changes. It just does it. There are some that hold that you see these 1,500-year cycles, warming and cooling. And anyway, but here's what I want to get to. This took place. The president had this event at the White House, and I mean, this has become really an excuse for everything. I mean, there's a couple of websites that identify everything that has been blamed on global warming. I mean, acne, bad beer, crumbling gingerbread houses, you name it. Of course, now the implosion of the Middle East. But at this event the president had, he had Hollywood's Leo DiCaprio was there. Now, his record, almost laughable when it comes to the environment, or hypocritical, I should say. Earlier this year, he won an award for his emphasis on the climate change, and he flew 8,000 miles to pick it up in his carbon-emitting private jet. So he was on the South Lawn of the White House promoting his new global warming movie, Before the Flood, where he argued that climate skeptics, listen to this, should be kicked out of the political process. Quote, the scientific consensus is in, and the argument is now over. If you do not believe in climate change, you do not believe in facts or in science or empirical truths, and therefore, in my humble opinion, should not be allowed to hold public office, end quote. Now, how's that for tolerant? If you challenge the left's ideas or their sacred cows, or you refuse to surrender, in this case, national autonomy to international treaties, you suddenly are ineligible from participating in the political process. You know, first, the climate crowd wanted to lock up climate change deniers. Now they want to exclude them from their right to run for and hold public office. Now, as shocking as this is, we should not be surprised. This is the MO of the left. Okay, this is how they operate. This is the same intolerant approach that was attempted back in San Antonio a couple years ago to force acceptance, is prior to the court's decision on marriage, to force acceptance of same-sex marriage. Businesses that would have been prohibited from doing entering into contracts or doing business with the city if they had moral or religious opposition to same-sex marriage or the redefinition of gender. So this is their full intolerance on display. You don't agree with them? You have no right into the public square. That, my friends, is what we're facing increasingly. They don't want to have a debate. No, listen to what he said. The scientific consensus is in, and the argument is now over. The same thing is being said over the issue of redefinition of marriage. 5,000 years of human history, redefined by five unelected judges, and the left says, well, the discussion, the debate is over. This is the way it is. Really? Really? You think? Well, that's what they were hoping on the abortion issue. 40-plus years ago, 43 years ago, when the court imposed abortion on demand on the country in Roe v. Wade. Guess what? It's still being debated. Did you happen to catch the debate with Mike Pence and Tim Kaine the other night? It was prominently featured. Why? Because you cannot suppress the laws of nature and get by with it. I mean, you just can't do it. It is not natural for a mother to take the life of her own child. That's why there's so many issues that women deal with post-abortion, because it's not natural. It's not the way God made us. As Paul said in Romans chapter 2, those who do not have the law live by the law, even though they don't know it, because it's written on their hearts. It's inscribed on their hearts. It's natural. That's what the founders were talking about, the laws of nature and nature's God. And the same marriage is the same way. That's in nature. Every civilization, every religion, till the present, has recognized marriage for what it is, the union of a man and a woman. This, again, that's why they don't want to debate, because they don't have facts. They can't back up these claims. They just want to silence those who would question them. All right. There's that music again. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We're glad you're along on this Thursday afternoon. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. And that number, 866-372-7234. I mean, what do you think about this? Every time there's a new problem, they want to blame it on global warming. I mean, is this simply just trying to cover up their ineptness, their inability to do their jobs? All right, let's talk about it here on Washington Watch, 866-372-7234, when we return. Don't go away.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
Congressman Squimpy's office. Why, yes, thank you. I'll let him know. Congressman Squimpy's office. Yes, ma'am. I'll let him know. Congressman Squimpy's office, please hold.
Martha, why are there so many calls today?
Oh, Congressman, the American Family Association just released an AFA action alert about the bill you're voting on.
Stay informed and let your representative know where you stand. Sign up for the AFA action alert at afa.net.
So many calls.
So little aspirin.
Does the changing of the seasons have you thinking about the future? If you're feeling like you can't contribute as you have in the past, maybe we can offer some help. There are many ways to make an end-of-the-year charitable gift. A cash donation comes with the advantage of a tax deduction. Transferring appreciated stock can allow you to avoid capital gains taxes. You could leave a gift through a will or trust by naming AFA as a beneficiary. And a charitable gift annuity provides a deduction for today as well as guaranteed income for life. As 2016 draws to a close, let us show you how to maximize your year-end giving for yourself and for AFA. Visit afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. If the economy has you worried about what the future may bring, giving through the AFA Foundation could help. Again, that's afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation this afternoon. Has climate change, global warming. I want to be politically correct. I'll call it climate change, okay? I strive to be politically correct. So climate change, is it conveniently used to as an excuse for anything that happens? Anyway, let's talk about it. Let's go to Kansas, where David is on the line. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. I'll listen off the air. I want to say what I have to say, then I'll listen off the air if I may.
First right ahead.
Of all, I think you did say it correctly when you said global warming, because they've changed it now, but it was global warming. But, however, I can remember when I was a child, and I'll give the approximate year of 1972, 73, somewhere in there, they were saying we were headed for another ice age back in that day. Secondly, I'd like to hear you comment. I can remember a few years ago, I don't know, it's been 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago, there was a group of scientists, and I think they were in England, and they were caught cooking the books on global warming, and I suspect the reason they were doing it so they could get more government monies for grants and such. I'm going to listen off the air. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, David, thanks so much for the call. You are correct. There's been these cycles in which there were warnings that we were going into an ice age, a mini ice age, and that was back in the 60s and early 70s. In fact, I was looking for, and I'll have it here in the studio, a copy of my book, Personal Faith, Public Policy, which actually we have a chapter on this issue, and we go back and in pulling from the news articles of the day, in chronological order, those claims where there's threats that it's going to get hot, threats that it's going to get cold. So you're absolutely right. Your memory served you correctly. And yes, there was it had to do with the reporting of the data points on temperature. There was a scandal over that. So look, I am not saying that there is not climate change. The climate is constantly changing. The question, and what many people do not agree with, is that this is man-made. Does man have an effect upon this environment? Absolutely. I mean, without question. I mean, just the, when you go into, I mean, for, when you go into a room and you fill it up with, you know, 50 people, it's going to get warmer in there. All right, so we do have an effect. But can we really change? In fact, here's actually continuing what happened at the White House. NBC's Ron Allen, in these factual leaps, is right there with the president. He suggested that an international climate agreement, which the president was talking about, could stop hurricanes like Matthew from happening. On Wednesday, he said he joined MSNBC to talk about the president's environmental push, saying, quote, "It's very interesting that this is happening a day when there's a hurricane bearing down on the U.S. and in the Caribbean, because these severe storms, beach erosions, intense weather episodes that we've had is perhaps the most practical sample of what the president was talking about as the threats, as the threat that the planet faces." And so the idea is that this agreement, in fact, he goes on to say, is what the whole climate agreement signed by 190 nations and now ratified by 60 is designed to stop. So this international agreement, which surrenders national sovereignty and, you know, provides these trades where, you know, you can pollute, but you got to pay money to another country that's a poor country, that's somehow going to stop hurricanes. I mean, it's been almost a decade since we've had a major hurricane hit America. So it's not realistic. Yes, there's climate change, without question. But is it because of your suburban? And can we say, I mean, this whole idea is that we can save the planet. We can't even save ourselves. But it's a very convenient excuse because everybody realizes to try to stop the climate from changing is almost, it's impossible. But we can throw all this money, we can surrender to a one world government, we can do all of these things. It's not going to happen. Still not going to stop it. But it's like it's such a huge problem that if we just say, well, that's the it's climate change is responsible for this. I mean, does anybody really think that we could hold the president accountable for preventing the climate from changing? Well, no. So if the climate change is responsible for what happened in Syria, in part, now I'm going to be very honest, he didn't say it was the whole thing. He just said, you know, there's growing body of evidence to suggest that it was a contributing factor. Well, I mean, if these things are the product of climate change, as they claim, well, then who could we hold responsible? We can't. And that is the issue. All right, let's go to South Carolina where Pete is on the line. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks a lot. It's climate change. Global warming caused me to lose my house.
All right, tell me how.
Well, a couple years ago, I was running around my bare feet. I stubbed my toe. I couldn't go to work. I lost my job. Couldn't make my mortgage payments, and I lost my house. So, if it weren't so hot that day, I would have shoes on.
There you have it, folks. There it is. That's 1,001 effects of global warming. Pete's house. Pete, you still there?
Yeah. Can I make a serious comment?
Yeah, go right ahead.
It's nothing to do with climate change. It's about government control and the transfer of money.
Yes.
I suppose that. And is there a fluctuation in the climate? Of course. But, I mean, compare how old is the planet? You know, estimates vary in the billions of years. And how long have we had reliable weather data? A few years, literally.
Right.
So how can you possibly extrapolate a minute fraction of a second of time over the longevity of the life of the Earth and claim this is a trend? It's ludicrous. And it's a miracle when you figure that our climate is directly related to the sun, which is 92.5 million miles away, and we're in an orbit which is not a fixed orbit. It's a miracle that our climate is as stable as it is.
Well, it would suggest that there was intelligent design behind it, not only in creating it, but sustaining it. And therefore, our efforts, while they should be, you know, we should take care as we are occupants of this place, to suggest that somehow we can be the ones who sustain the earth and keep it as it is to deny what you just said, Pete, that in fact it is a miracle. Yes, it is a miracle. It is, in fact, many scientists come to that conclusion about creation, life itself, that there had to have been intelligent design behind it. And not only in creating it, but as I said, in sustaining it. And that is where the rub is with this climate change theory. Not the fact that the climate is changing, but that it is man that is responsible for stopping it and preserving the earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that we should take care of the planet and we should not pollute it. But you know what? America, and I can only speak to America, about America, we've done a remarkable job in the last 50 years of cleaning up the air, the water. We have reduced air emissions tremendously, while at the same time, we have continued to increase our energy production and our quality of life. But what we're seeing now with this radical shift, which, Pete, you're absolutely right, it's about money and about power, is that, like this attack on coal, which was prominently featured in the debate the other night. This, the radical proposals that are being put forward will, I mean, they're not going to affect the quality of the air and the water in any significant way, or not even marginally, but they will significantly increase the cost of energy, which will have a dramatic impact upon the quality of life. And not only for this country, but other countries as well. Pete, thanks so much for the call. Hope you can get your house back. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Missouri, where Bob is on the line. Bob, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Obama blaming the Mideast on climate change, along with statements made by top Democrats and top Republicans in Washington, D.C., I wonder if they realize that we're not that stupid.
Well, you know what? I think they've been doing this for so long that I do think they just believe that the American public, a vast majority of them, will continue to go along with this this scheme that they've got going. And it's important, Bob, that people do inform themselves on these issues, all the issues. But this is one that, you know, people say, why do you talk about that? It has nothing to do with faith, family, and freedom. Actually, it does. It has a lot to do with freedom. Has a lot to do with faith, as I just pointed out. This is the collision between a humanist worldview and a biblical worldview. That, you know, man is able to save himself and the planet. That we, you know, there is no God. Where a biblical worldview recognizes that, as I said earlier, God is the creator and the sustainer of all that is and all that has been. And again, that does not absolve us of responsibility of taking care of what God has entrusted to us. You know, when God put Adam in the garden, he was told to tend to it and take care of it. Now, he didn't do a good job. You know, he sinned and got booted out. Well, I mean, there are consequences. I mean, we've done some things to this planet that are not good stewards. But again, I go back, when you look at the record, especially here in the United States. Now, I'm not talking about China and some of these other countries, but the United States, the manufacturing, of course, we've lost a lot of manufacturing jobs, but power and so on, I mean, clean coal and the just the technology that we've employed in our plants to clean the emissions, it's been remarkable. I was, back when I was in office, I was in leadership of the Environmental Committee and traveled my home state of Louisiana, going around to different plants, having testimony and studying this stuff. And it was remarkable of how technology was used to really clean up the air and the water in this country. Now, we can do better. We can always do better. Technology allows us to do better. But to suggest that we have to surrender national sovereignty to other nations in order to save the planet because we're about to all, you know, melt, is not realistic. It's not realistic. It's not honest. And it is it is part of a different worldview than the worldview that America was founded upon and has been guided by for 240 years. So, Bob, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's work in another call here real quick. Let's go to Carol in Texas. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. Carol, how are you?
I'm well. You know, I heard the comment about climate change possibly causing these massive hurricanes and somehow that can be stopped. I remember growing up on the Gulf Coast evacuating for hurricanes, and Carla in 1960 was a horrendous hurricane. There was a hurricane in, I think it was 1900, that hit Galveston and almost totally destroyed the city. These things have been around for ages. And I don't believe for 1 minute has anything to do with climate change. Of course, I'm in that, you know, basket of deplorables and, you know, they're probably a little bit brain damaged too. But I'm also wondering, Al Gore created the internet, so maybe he created climate change.
Well, he certainly contributed to it, flying around in his private jet so much. But you're right. Actually, Carol, I found my book. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But as you talked about, I remember there was a number of amazing weather events in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, that was at a time when we were talking about earlier that we were moving in a time of global cooling. Now, this was, how much time we got here? I got time to, all right. In a study of the media's coverage of climate change, R. Warren Anderson and Dan Gaynor examined how major media outlets covered the issue of climate change over the last 100 years plus. What they discovered was that there had been four climate change scares: a concern over global cooling beginning in 1895, followed by fears of global warming in 1929, only to be replaced by alarm over global cooling. Now we're back to global warming. With each succeeding crisis, the call for a government solution has grown louder and louder. That's what's behind this, folks. That, from Personal Faith Public Policy, from myself and Bishop Harry Jackson. All right, folks, out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Carol, great to talk with you. Have a thankful Thursday. And folks, remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.